turn to the book of Luke. Oh, another prayer request. I can't believe I forgot it, but I am slipping. Well, we were supposed to have a missionary tonight. Remember that? Brother Eric Gilrod, missionary to? Where? Who said India? You're the only ones that was right. Okay. Anyway, a missionary to India. His papaw was at the point of death. So we need to pray for his family. He asked me, he called me today. He said, Pastor, I hate to do this with just a few hours. I said, Brother, it'll be all right. So I'm pretty sure I'll get back in touch with him that it's not going to be next Wednesday, but the Wednesday after that. I believe it's 2 weeks from tonight that he'll come back and be with us. So please remember Brother Eric's family. They live about 40 miles south of Chattanooga, down in Georgia. That'd be probably a little bit below Dalton, wouldn't it? Or that area down in there, the Dalton, Georgia area. Turn to Luke tonight. I believe it's Luke. Yes, Luke chapter number 9. Good to have Serge with us tonight. Amen. Good to meet him. We met his family, his wife and boys, and last Wednesday night, Leanna and Matthew and Daniel. And it's good to have our visitors tonight. We thank the Lord for them, each one of them. And just pray God will speak to our hearts. Luke chapter 9 tonight. Luke chapter number 9. Luke chapter number 9. I'm not going to read the entire chapter to start with, but we're probably going to read the most of the chapter as we go through the message tonight. Kind of a simple message, but I think it's going to be good. Let me ask you this question. How many of you ever heard someone say about someone else, he or she has a good spirit about him? How many's ever heard somebody say something like that? Well, he's got a good spirit about him. Brother Brian, you'll like this. The salesman in Mount Airy, North Carolina, Brother Brian worded it to me like this the other day. He said, Pastor, talking to him just like talking to you. Amen. When you get up there around that Mason-Dixon line, things change. I'll tell you that right now. But anyway, that man had a good spirit about him. I found out he was a Gideon and found out his son is his pastor. And he called me today. Well, I was going to say Brother Gary, but Brother Gary gone. Amen. Brother Houston, he called me today and wanted to know if we were satisfied, if the van ran out good on the... Now, if I'd have been on my toes, Brother Houston, I'd have told him we had to put 3 quarts of oil in it before we got home and 2 pints of transmission fluid. But I would have, I'd have been thinking, but he caught me. I wasn't on my guard. Amen. I wasn't on my toes. But I just thought that was very kind and a good spirit about him. And tonight, how many like somebody say that about you? He's got a good spirit about him. She's got a good spirit about her. Well, tonight, let's look here and I'll show you where I'm going in Luke chapter number 9. And we'll begin reading in verse number 49 tonight. Let me begin reading in verse number 51. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, that he here is Jesus, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face out ahead of him. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. They were preparing the way. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. You remember the Samaritans and the Jews didn't get along real well. The Samaritans were half-breeds, so to speak. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did, or Elijah did? You remember Elijah up on Mount Carmel, and when the contest was going on with the prophets of Baal, you know the story how that the sacrifice was put on the altar, and they said, the God that answers by fire, that's the God that's the real God. And anyway, the prophets of Baal, they they cried out and they prayed. They cut themselves and they went on and on and on. And Elijah kind of made fun of them. He said, well, maybe he's on vacation. I'm just paraphrasing. You know what I mean? But anyway, their God was not a God that's alive. Their God didn't hear. Their God didn't answer. Well, Elijah, when it was his turn to pray, he said, go get some water. And they took that water and they covered the sacrifice, filled the ditch up all the way around it. And Elijah prayed and the fire come down and took and licked up the sacrifice and the water. And of course, he won the battle that day and God proved himself to be God. And so here they are. They said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven? You'll see as we study the chapter, they were a little bit maybe cocky because whatever they were asking for, God had given them power over disease, power over the devil, and whatever they were asking for, they were getting it. And so they knew, I believe they believed that, Lord, we can pray fire down from heaven right now. They don't want you. We'll fix them. That's what they had in their heart. But he turned. Look at verse 55. I'll get to this later. And he rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. Now, what happened right there? Jesus is in so many words telling them, boys, you ain't got a good spirit right now. You don't know what spirit you're of. Now watch verse 56. He said, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to the village together. Now Jesus in John chapter number 3, you remember, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. What Jesus is saying is, he don't need nobody to pray fire down on him. He's already condemned because he don't believe. And because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So tonight I want to approach the chapter and it's going to take a miracle of God. There's 60 some verses here. How many is there? 62 verses. But I want to approach the chapter tonight and show you the manner of spirit ye are of when you're a child of the King, when you're a child of God. These are some things that ought to be evident in our spirit. And I believe these are some things that would cause someone else to say about us, he's got a good spirit. Or, you know, she's got a good spirit. And I believe that would be a worthy goal to live for. Father in heaven, thank you tonight for the privilege to be here. I know, Lord, that you will help me. And I ask you again to help me. And I beg you, Lord, to help me to be help me to be a blessing, your precious people. In Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. Well, let's get started tonight and just go through them. In verse number 1, we'll go back to verse number 1. The Bible said, he called his 12 disciples together, and he gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God, to heal the sick. He said to them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves, nor scrip, nor bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. Whatsoever house you enter into, there abide, thence depart. Whosoever will not receive you, when you go out of the city, shake off the very dust of your feet for a testimony against them. They departed, went through the towns, preaching the gospel, healing everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch, he heard of all that was done by him. He was perplexed because it was said of some that John was risen from the dead. Now see, Jesus was doing things and his disciples were doing things that caused people to believe. Only one they ever heard of doing things like that was John. And they thought, well, John has risen from the dead. And some said Elias has appeared. Others said one of the old prophets has risen. And Herod said, John, I have beheaded. But who is this of whom I hear such things? And he desired to see him. The first thing I want to give you tonight, we should be a humble spirit. We should be of a humble spirit. Now you say, preacher, I don't know how you got that out of that text. Let me give you some things first of all. Number one, he called them. There's not a one of us here tonight that he didn't call. You never get saved unless he calls you. Amen. And the Bible said in verse number 1, he called his 12 disciples together. That ought to humble us, the fact that he called us, that the likes of him called the likes of us. Secondly, the thing I see here is he gave them power. The Word of God said in that same verse, he gave them power and authority over all devils to cure diseases. And then the third thing that ought to cause us to be humble tonight is he sent us. The Bible said in verse number 2, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So tonight, a person that somebody would say, he's got a good spirit, she's got a good spirit. Number one, that would be of a humble spirit. They would not be full of pride. They would not be full of arrogance. But they would realize that every good and perfect gift comes down from above. Everything that they have, God has given to them. He called them. He gave them power. He sent them. And then, secondly tonight, I've read this story. I've preached this story. I've heard this story preached, but I've never thought about one thing that I'm going to share with you tonight. I want you to think about it with me. Look here in verse 10. The Bible said the apostles, when they were returned, they told him all that they had done. And he took them, and he went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. And the people, when they knew it, they followed him, and he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and he healed them that had need of healing. Watch this. When the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and country round about and lodge and get victuals, for we're here in a desert place. But he said unto them, give you them to eat. And they said, we have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all this people. And they were about 5,000 men. Now that is beside the women and children. So if there's one man and one woman and one child, you're looking at 15,000 people. And there may have been more than that. But now watch this. The Bible said, and they did so. Well, did I read that part? Make them sit down by 50. 5,000, make them sit down by 50s in a company. By the way, that spoke to me right there. You know, some people say, well, you shouldn't even worry about how many's at church. Well, why did Jesus tell us there's 50 in each gang? Why did Jesus tell us on the day of Pentecost 3,000 got saved? And listen, it's not all about numbers. Don't get me wrong. But I tell you what, a number represents a soul. And when you look at it like that, there's nothing wrong with saying there's 35 or 40 young people over there hearing the Word of God tonight. It's not to boast, but it's to help us to understand that Jesus didn't mind. And they did so and made them all sit down. Watch it. He took the loaves, the 2 fishes, looking up to heaven. He blessed them and brake and gave to the multitudes, gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. They did eat, were all filled. They were taken up of the fragments that remained to them, 12 baskets. I'd never thought about this before in my life. But Brother Rose, think with me about this for just a moment. Jesus looked up to heaven. He took the 2 fishes and the 5 loaves, and he continued to break them and bless them and break them and bless them. Somebody tell me who passed it all out. Who passed it out? 12 disciples. Now, how many can understand that that's a pretty good chore? Brother Brian, that's not setting up 2 rows of tables and saying, y'all come and get it. Amen. That's setting them down 50 here, 50 here, 50 here, 50 here, 50 here. I don't know how long that would have taken, but it took a while. But watch this. The second thing, not only the manner of spirit you and I are of should be of a humble spirit, but we should be of a helpful spirit. In other words, there was work to be done. Jesus was breaking it. Jesus was blessing it. And Jesus was getting ready to feed 5,000 people, but he used 12 disciples. Glory to God. Think about that for just a minute. You and I have the gospel of the Lord Jesus. We have the bread of life. And what God wants us to do is just pass it out. He's the one that provided it, but he wants us to pass it out, spread it around. I never had thought about the chore, Brother Brian, involved with those 12 disciples. That was a chore. Now, I believe it was a blessing. I believe they might have been skipping. I believe they might have been looking over. John looked over at James and said, can you believe this? You know, me and you, Brother Houston, if we was doing that, man, can you believe this? Let's go get another load. This is good to watch Jesus feed them all out there in the wilderness. They were of a helpful spirit. Mark it down. Anybody that someone would say, that fellow's got a good spirit, that woman's got a good spirit, how many of you say amen? They got a spirit that they want to help. They're not running from what needs to be done. They're running to what needs to be done. They're willing and they're helpful. They have a helpful spirit. Now, that brings me to the next thing. Look at verse 23 and verse number 24. Let's look here for just a minute. The Bible said here, he was praying in verse number 18. You come down there and he said to his disciples, whom say the people that I am? Verse number 19, they answered, said John the Baptist, some Elias. Others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. He said unto them, whom ye say ye that I am? You know, that's the question tonight. It's not, the question is not, who does the world say he is? The question is, Brother John, who do you say he is? The question is, Brother Colder, who do you say he is? You say, preacher, why is that the question? Because you're going to stand one-on-one in front of him one of these days. Ain't going to be nobody else around. Jesus said, whom do men say that I am? They gave the answer. Then he said, who do you say I am? And Peter said, the Christ of God. We know if you look at another text, he says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen. Look down here, verse 22. Saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders, the chief priests and scribes, and be slain and raised the third day. And I'll give you this. In verse 23, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, he said, and follow me. Let me give you a couple things right here. The next thing is, we should be of a humble spirit. That's the manner of spirit we should be of. We should be of a helpful spirit. But then we should be of a willing spirit. You say, preacher, where did you get the word willing? Well, look at verse 23. If any man will, come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Look at verse 24. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Now you say, preacher, I don't know why we should be willing. Well, I just wrote down several things that's right here in this text. Number one, we should be willing because he revealed himself to us. Yeah. Honey, we didn't reveal ourselves to him. Amen. He revealed himself to us. You say, well, the preacher was preaching when I got saved. Yes, he was preaching the Word of God, and the Spirit of God revealed Jesus to you and showed you who that Jesus was, and you understood your need of him. He revealed himself to us in verse 18 through verse 21. In verse 22, he redeemed us. The Bible said the Son of Man must suffer and be rejected, be slain, and raised the third day. You say, preacher, what is that? That's the gospel. How that Christ died for our sin according to Scripture. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to Scripture. That's how you and I were redeemed, by the grace of God. He paid the price for our sin. And then, not only we should be willing because he revealed himself to us, he redeemed us. Boy, this is going to bless your heart. I hope it does like it did mine. But just thirdly, because he's with us. I want to show you some things here that will bless your heart. Look at verse 28. The Bible said, and it came to pass, about 8 days after these saying, he took Peter and James and John, or John and James, and went up into a mountain to pray. You see that? Look up at verse number 29 down through verse number 36. I'm not going to read it all for the sake of time. But as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. His raiment was white and glistening. You remember the Mount of Transfiguration. Moses was there. Elijah was there. He appeared in glory. And Peter and them, they were heavy with sleep. But when they woke up, he said, Master, it's good for us to be here. And then, if you will, look at verse number 37. The Bible said, and it came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. Here's what God gave him. Boy, I like this. Jesus was with them on the way up. Jesus was with them on the top. And Jesus was with them on the way down. And you and I can shout more than that, amen, because he said he would never leave us nor forsake us. He's with us on the hillside. He's with us on the top of the hill. He's with us in the valley on the other side of the hill. He'll always be with us. Boy, that blessed me, amen. Just to see, on the way up, there he is. On top, there he is. On the way back down. Honey, he was headed for a deep valley. He was headed for Calvary. He was headed, my friend, to die for you and to die for me. We should be of a humble spirit. We should be of a helpful spirit. We should be of a willing spirit. And then number four, we should be of a thankful spirit. Look, beginning in verse number 38 here. Behold, a man of the company. Well, let me read verse 37. It came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. There's a whole lot of people there. And behold, a man, one man, had a certain need. There was a crowd of people. It reminds you of the woman with the issue of blood. The crowd thronged him, the Word of God said. But one person touched him. I preached a message one time. I think I've preached it here at the church. Entitled, The Difference Between Touching Jesus and Thronging Him. A lot of people, my friend, throng Jesus every Sunday. But some will get a hold of what he has for him and touch him. And here's a man that has a need. Behold, a man of the company cried out. He said, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son. He's my only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him and suddenly crieth out. It teareth him that he foameth again. And bruising him, hardly departed from him. I'm thinking a little Sawyer. Sawyer can't talk yet. And I'm just thinking, Brother Gary, how he gets when something's bothering him. When he had his surgery a little while back, it hurt him bad to make water. You would see him make a face. And then when he was making water, he would scream. Now listen, you say, Preacher, what are you trying to say? That tore Papa's heart plumb out of his chest. Yeah. Amen. Sometimes when he's running a fever and you got him and you're holding him and you're doing everything that you can. But listen, all of those things are nothing compared to what's going on with this man's son. The devil's got hold of him. And the Bible said here, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son. He's my only child. Lo, the spirit taketh him. Suddenly crieth out, teareth him, and he foameth. And I besought my disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring thy son hither. When he was yet coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the child, and delivered him again to the Father. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered, everyone, at all the things which Jesus did, then he says to his disciples, let these sayings sink down into your heart. The next thing I want to give you is this. We should be of a thankful spirit. You say, Preacher, where did you get that in the text? Number one, we should be thankful because just like this man that had a need, we can cry out to a God that'll hear us. We can lift up our voice to him and cry out to him in prayer. And beloved, listen, there's times when you can't even cry out. The Word of God said that he maketh intercession with groanings that cannot be uttered. There's times when you can't even say a word because your heart is so crushed. But God intercedes on our behalf. And we ought to be thankful because we can cry out to him. We ought to be thankful tonight. Listen to me carefully. Because he is greater than this unclean, wicked, evil spirit that was in this boy. It doesn't matter what problem somebody's got. It could be from unbelief. My friend, to any sin you can think of in the whole wide world, thank God greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And we ought to be thankful because, have a thankful spirit because he's greater than that evil spirit. And then we ought to be thankful. Now this This is not going to make much sense, but I think it will. Look at verse number 41. He cried out to his disciples. He said, "Oh, faithless and perverse generation, you and I ought to thank God tonight that he rebukes us." Amen. Amen. We ought to thank God tonight that God loves us enough, Brother Rose, to rebuke us when we're wrong. Amen. I'll tell you what a mature Christian will do. If a pastor's preaching something out of this book and it hits them, a mature Christian will thank God that God loved him enough to send him the message. He won't get mad at the preacher. By the way, the Bible said, preach the word. The Bible said, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. You know, we're living in a generation that wants exhort. They want to be grinning from ear to ear when they come, grinning from ear to ear when they go. They don't want anybody to ever tell them there's any. But this Bible will tell you and I there's something wrong every once in a while in our life that needs to be fixed. It's not always things that we're doing that's wrong. Sometimes it's things we're failing to do that's wrong. To him that knoweth to do good, doeth it not. The word of God said to him, it's sin. So we ought to be a thankful spirit. We ought to be thankful because he was delivered. Look at verse number 44. The Bible said here, the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. Boy, I wrote down a statement. You're going to like this. I've never heard this before. Maybe nothing new under the sun, but I've never heard it before. He was delivered into the hands of men, Brother Brian, that men might be delivered into the hands of God. Ain't that good? Amen. He was delivered into the hands of men to give his life, that you and I could have life and be delivered into the hands of God. Oh boy, that blessed my heart when I thought about that. What a blessing. Then we ought to be thankful because we now understand what the disciples did not understand. Look at verse 45. But they understood not this saying. It was hid from them. You remember when Mary anointed Jesus with that precious ointment? You remember that? And Jesus said, against the day of my burying. She was, as far as I can tell in Scripture, she was the only one that had a clue about what was fixing to happen to the Lord Jesus, even though he told them over and over and over. So we ought to have a thankful spirit because now we understand what the disciples did not. And then number 5, look at verse 46 down through verse number 48. There was a reasoning among them, which of them should be greatest. Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, he took a child and set him by him. And he said unto them, whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. Here's what the Lord spoke to my heart about right there. We ought to have a childlike spirit. Jesus said, except you humble yourself as a little child, you'll in no wise enter in. We ought to have a childlike spirit. Be teachable. Be pliable. Let God help us along the way. And not be so worried about who's got first place. Amen. Just be shouting it out because you got a place in the family of God. Amen. Amen. What a blessing. We should have a childlike, be of a childlike spirit. Then verse 49 down through verse number 46, this was our text. He said, forbid him not. He that's not against us is with us, is for us. Came to pass the time was come that he should be received up. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And you come on down through there, and that's the story we read when we began, where he was not welcome in Samaria. And the disciples said, wilt thou, we pray, fire down from heaven and consume them. And number 6 in the message tonight, in the lesson tonight is this. We should be of a compassionate spirit. In other words, tonight, there was a time in your life, Brother Ralph, when you didn't receive him. How'd you like to have somebody praying fire down on you when you hadn't received Him? Time in your life, Brother Larry, when you hadn't received Him. There's a time in every one of us's life when we hadn't received Him. And what we ought to do is not be looking, my friend, with eyes of judgment. We ought to be looking with eyes of compassion. The Word of God, it did say this, you remember over there in the book of Jude, and if some have compassion, making a difference. I want you to listen to this. The Lord spoke to my heart. Others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. God doesn't want you and I to be praying them under the fire. He wants us to be pulling them out of the fire. That's the spirit we're supposed to have, a spirit of compassion, trying to get them out from under the judgment of God. Then the last thing tonight, somebody's going to stand and sing in a minute. It took a miracle. You know that song, Miss Anita? Amen. Amen. I'll get real to whoop you if you stand and sing "It Took a Miracle" when I get through this chapter in 30 minutes. Amen. All right. The last thing tonight, we should be of a steadfast spirit. Look at verse number 57. It came to pass as he went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee wherever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. What he was saying, Miss Barbara, is it's not all roses. That's what he was saying, amen. It's not all a bed of roses. Now watch. And he said unto another, follow me. He said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. They said, preacher, what's that last spirit? We should be of a steadfast spirit. In other words, Jesus said, forgetting those things which are behind, the Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians, reaching forth to those things which are before, pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, right? You remember over there, I guess it's 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, along about verse number 57, thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 58, wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Brother Steve went up there the other day, him and Miss Cindy, all the way to Maryland. Spent the night, got up there that morning. Man, it was not good. What a good spirit he had. We talked on Monday afternoon. He said, Pastor, we're working together. He said, I'd do it again next week. Isn't that wonderful? That he wasn't up in Maryland turning red and getting mad at Brother Brian and Pastor because we asked him to go up there and get something. We was acting on all the information we had. Amen. A good spirit. He said, I'd do it again next week. I'll tell you something tonight. That's precious. Let me give you something here tonight. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I'm going to read you something. It fits perfectly with our church right now. Norman Geisler, as a child, you'll like this, Brother Brian, he went to Vacation Bible School because he was invited by some neighborhood children. He went back to the same church for Sunday school classes for 400 Sundays. Each week, he was faithfully picked up by a bus driver. By the way, there was a faithful bus driver that picked me up when I was little, took me to church. Week after week, he attended church. but never made a commitment to Christ. Finally, during his senior year in high school, after being picked up for church over 400 times, he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. What if that bus driver had given up on Geisler at 395? What if the bus driver had said, "This kid is going nowhere spiritually. Why should we waste any more time?" Oh, I thank God for that story. Let me tell you something. Listen to me. Listen. I'm trying to thank God for our church. There's a lot of churches when an old van laid down like that out there, instead of replacing it, they'd said, "Oh, listen, preacher, let somebody else take them. There's other churches running buses. Oh, ain't no use to worry about them youngins." I'm going to tell you something right now. I thank my God in heaven that we've got our sights set on Him and got His sights set on the work and got our sights set on souls. It might take 400 services. Sister Pam, it might take 400 children's church services. It might take 400 youth meetings. God said, "Don't be looking back. Look for 401, 402, 403. Stay at it. Honey, Jesus is coming. I believe we're living on the threshold of His coming. I don't want to be going backwards when He comes. I don't want to be looking backwards when He comes. I want to be going forward and looking up to Him as we go along the way. Amen. I'm just glad you come tonight. Praise the Lord. That's the manner of spirit. Living like that caused somebody to say, "She's got a good spirit about her." Caused somebody to say, "He's got a good spirit about him." Amen. I know this. I called Brother Brian the other morning and started giving him what I knew. He said, "Pastor, that ain't right. He told me that thing was clean as a pin." Let me tell you what he did. He lied to Brother Brian. Either he lied because he didn't look at it himself. He was just going by what was it. But you can't tell somebody something's clean as a pin if you don't know it. Amen. Brother Brian had a good spirit. He said, "Pastor, tell Brother Steve to put that check in his pocket and come on home." That's what you call backing up and punting, ain't it? Have you ever had to back up and punt? There's nothing wrong with that. You got enough people loving God and loving one another, you'll find the will of God after a while. Just got to stay after it. Stay after it. Stay after it. This chapter makes me want to live where Jesus wouldn't have to look down at me and say, "Rick, you know not what manner of spirit you're of." Amen. Help us, Lord. Father, thank you tonight for your people. Lord, I thank you for that night in February 1987. Lord, I sure didn't have a good spirit. I didn't have the Holy Spirit. Full pride, full self. Oh God, I thank you tonight. You've allowed us to be a part of your family. Allowed us to be a little part of the work that you're doing in this corner of the world. Father, I pray tonight that you'd help us to live our lives, Lord, here at Bible Way, in such a way that men and women, boys and girls, they don't say it with their mouth, might think in their heart, they've got a good spirit about them. Lord, I thank you for working this week, for precious people to work with. God, I want to thank you for saving us. Thank you, Lord, for calling us. Thank you for giving us a place to work in your vineyard. Now, Lord, I know the weather may get bad, the roads may get slick. I pray you protect us. pray you give us wisdom. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us as we come back on Sunday, God willing, become hungry, become humble. Lord, just come back to your house wanting to get help so we can be a help to somebody else along life's way. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In thy name we pray.